Today, we are in our fourth lesson of Noel, and if you're a note taker in your service guide, there's an opportunity to take some notes, and I really encourage you to do so. And we've been talking about Mary's life, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how she brought forth a destiny from her life in a way that not only blessed the world, but it blessed her, and she was able to do it in a way that was very healthy. And she ended up strong in the end. And we see that Mary's life continues on in a very beautiful, beautiful way throughout what we see in Scripture. And in this series, we're talking about what it means to bring a healthy, God-designed destiny from our own lives. And somebody asked me a little while ago, they said, well, they were being kind of snarky with me. And they said, well, how do you explain this? Doesn't everyone bring a destiny forth? I mean, didn't Hitler bring a destiny forth? Didn't Stalin bring a destiny forth? And the answer to that is yes, they did. And we can go down the line on all the people who have done terrible and tragic things in this world. All of them bringing forth a destiny. But what we're talking about is bringing forth a God-designed destiny to life that it results in you being healthy, the world around you being blessed. That's what we're talking about. And we've been talking about it from the place of conception. We talked about that first. And then we went through the context of expectation, where it hasn't yet, it's been conceived, but it hasn't yet been delivered. And then today we're talking about the delivery of Jesus from the womb of Mary. What does it mean to deliver a God-designed destiny from your life? And when we talk about this, it's a beautiful time to do it here at Christmas, obviously, because that's what we are celebrating. We are celebrating the birth of Jesus from the womb of Mary. It's the celebration of the birthday, if you will, of Jesus Christ. And somebody might say, well, wait a minute, was Jesus really born on December the 25th? And the answer to that is probably not. But the concept of celebrating the birth of Christ is still good. It's still right. And what we are celebrating is more important than even specifically when we celebrate it. But the fact that we're celebrating something specific is important, because our world has kind of degraded Christmas to become a celebration of the Christmas spirit. And the idea that there would be a Christmas spirit without Christ is unreasonable. There has to be Christ in order for there to be Christmas. Christmas is derived from the birth of Christ. So to say that I'm going to celebrate the Christmas spirit but not celebrate the birth of Christ is like saying on your birthday, I'm going to celebrate the birthday spirit, but it's going to have nothing to do with you. That's not a popular idea at all. So here we are in a world that says we are going to celebrate Christmas, but trying to remove the reality of a delivery from the celebration. But Mary did deliver a baby. Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 said, and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Now this passage describes an entire concept in a very simple sounding sentence. And wouldn't it be nice if the story was that you were having a baby and it was time for you to deliver, and it was time for you to deliver, then you wrapped your baby in snuggly clothes and held them warmly and comfortably. Wouldn't it be nice if it were that easy? But it isn't that easy. And let all the mamas say amen. Mm-hmm. That wasn't all of them, but it's enough. It's just not that easy. And so the reality is that is it, when a woman is delivering a baby, it's a very, very traumatic moment. It's traumatic for her body. It can be dangerous. Historically, it was one of the most dangerous moments in a woman's life was to have a child. And many, many women lost their lives in the effort of producing and delivering a child into the world. But it's also a beautiful moment and a miraculous moment, where two have become one, and now the product of their unity is being revealed to the world. And so it's a dangerous moment, but it's also a miraculous moment. In Mary's life, the Holy Spirit had come upon her. The conception of Christ had occurred. She had gone through the time of expectation, and now it was time for her to produce the baby. And this delivery was going to change her life forever. And in fact, that brings us to our big idea today, because the delivery process changes you forever. There is no one in history who has not been completely altered by the delivery process, the delivery of a destiny or of a child. In fact, it's a big deal in our world today where women have a baby and then there's an effort, there's a push, and it's advertised on television and in magazines and other places where they say, we want to help you get back to your pre-pregnancy body. And that is a lie. Because there's no such thing as you can't get back to a pre-pregnancy body. Yes, you can lose weight, you can get fit, you can become healthy, and those things are all very positive, and I encourage it in everyone's life. But the reality is your very structure has been altered such that you cannot go back to a pre-delivery body. It's impossible. Things have shifted. And they cannot go back to how they were. And I'll tell you, that's the truth in delivering of a physical child, but it's also the truth in delivering any destiny. I am not the same Micah Sutton today that I was 15, 20 years ago. And Christy should be saying amen. because I'm a better person now than I was then. I've been through some stuff that it stretched me and it pulled me and it altered me and it caused me to think about things differently. And because of that, I think I'm easier to get along with. I have more patience for things than I used to. I'm less rigid and structured, but I'm much more intentional than I've ever been. So things have shifted. And frankly, I can't go back to how it used to be. There are moments when I think back in the, quote, good old days, end quote, it was easier because. But the reality is I can't go back even if I wanted to, and frankly, I don't want to. And I would encourage you, if you're a lady in the house today who has been changed by the delivery of a child into the world and you're feeling negative about that, do not be negative or feel ashamed of the changes that have happened in your body because you've produced something from your womb and brought something beautiful into the world. Don't ever be ashamed of that. Don't ever be ashamed of that. And if your life has changed entirely because you brought forth a destiny into this world, don't be afraid or ashamed of those changes either. Accept those changes and walk forward in those changes because delivering of a destiny is worth the change that it requires. But it's not always an easy thing. And that's thought number one for us today, is that delivering a destiny requires faith. It requires faith. No one will or has ever delivered a destiny into a known future. It's always an unknown future. You can't know how the story will end. Mary knew there on that beautiful night when she began to deliver this child into the world, she knew that a child would be delivered. She understood that. She even knew from the angel Gabriel's words that she would complete the process, that the time would be completed and that she would deliver the child. Unlike most people in her day, she had an understanding that she would survive the delivery of this child because the angel said that she would. And so here she is standing in that level of strength, but she could not understand the future of what that baby would experience. She could not see the future. And in fact, she was imagining a beautiful moment holding her child, but could she, in fact, imagine a cross that she would be standing at years later, looking at her son dying for the sin of mankind, never having committed those sins, not being responsible for it, but taking it on himself so that the rest of the world could be saved? Could she understand that? Could she see that? I think the answer to that is no. And some never deliver a destiny because they can't see the future. The stretching begins. The pain of delivery starts affecting the life. And suddenly the questions begin to arise. Well, if I start this business, will I be successful? If I begin this relationship, will this relationship last? If I get involved in this area of ministry, will it succeed? If I write this book, will anybody read it? These questions begin to be asked in the question because the pain becomes intense at times. And as that pain intensifies, the questions arise. And what we're really asking is it worth it? Is it worth what I'm going through right now? But I would encourage you today, the question really is, can you trust that God, who has conceived the destiny within you, can cause your destiny to thrive? Can you trust God, the one who placed the destiny there, to take care of it once it's birthed, once it has been released into the world? I think about the Apostle Peter, who had, you know, walked with Jesus for a number of years, and we know that he's the apostle who kind of sticks his foot in his own mouth and says things quickly and brashly and so on. But here he is, he's seen Jesus on the top of the mountain ascend into heaven, and the last thing Jesus told him was go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. So Peter did that, along with 119 other people. He's standing there or sitting there and in the upper room, and he's waiting for the promise of the Father. He doesn't know what the promise looks like. He doesn't know what it sounds like. He doesn't know what it is, but he knows that's what Jesus said to do. So that's what he's doing. Well, we know from Acts chapter number 2 that the Bible says that suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting, and tongues like fire sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And so here's a moment that had never happened before in human history. I mean, it's never been like that before. And now Peter is sitting here experiencing all of this for the very first time. And I mean, it's got to be kind of mind-blowing. And then after this great experience has occurred, they start hearing that outside there's a whole bunch of people gathered, and they're asking questions. They're asking questions like, hey, are those people up there drunk? It's really early in the morning, and why are they drinking so early? And they're asking these questions, and Peter's like, well, somebody needs to stand up and explain what's going on here. And so here, this is just my imagination. Scripture doesn't tell me this entirely, but I'm picturing Peter kind of sitting over in the corner somewhere, just trying to process what just happened to my life and in my world, and yet something has to be said. And so Peter gets up and he says, well, I guess I'm going to be the one to say it, because these 119 other people are not moving right now, and so I best go say something. And so we don't know if he went to a window or a balcony, but we know he made his way somehow to the point where he could address the crowd that had gathered, and he begins to speak to them about something that just happened. And frankly, I think the reason he started with Isaiah and Joel and some of the Old Testament prophets was just to give himself time to process what just occurred. And so, you know, when somebody says, hey, what are you doing today? When you start with, like, so I was born in January of 1970, that's because you need some time to process how you're going to answer this question. I think Peter was really giving them an Old Testament understanding of a New Testament revelation that had just occurred. But this whole thing is Peter saying, I've got to deliver from something that I just experienced, and a whole lot of faith went into that. How are they going to receive what I'm saying right now? And we know that 3,000 souls were saved that day. So it was a slamming success. I mean, it was awesome. But Peter didn't know that. As a destiny was being delivered from his life, he could not see what the future would hold. Faith allows a delivery process to begin. You're saying, I'm saying, okay, God, I'm moving forward and I'm trusting you in the process. And that brings us to thought number two. That thought is that you will do what you will to do. The thing that you will to do is the thing that you will do. You must become determined about pushing forward in this delivery moment of destiny in your life. You push through pain. You push through uncertainty. You push through the unknowns. Because the reality is that a healthy expectation always results in a baby becoming larger than your normal capacity to bring it forth. If it's a healthy expectation, that baby is going to grow bigger than the pathway into the world. And it's going to cause stretching in the life of the one bringing forth the destiny. I know that we sing, and we'll sing it tonight. We'll sing, Silent Night, Holy Night. But I don't think, and no, I don't have another verse for you today. But I don't think Mary was that silent that night. I think Mary was expressing a few things. I think she was telling Joseph exactly what she thought about the entire process. Mary probably wasn't silent at all. Why? Because if everything goes right, the birthing of a destiny is going to stretch you beyond your normal capacity. And our world teaches us, our world says, our society embraces the idea that if it's meant to be, it won't hurt. If you were really meant to be with that person, there would not be any pain or disappointment or struggle in the relationship. That's a lie. If you were really meant to bring that destiny forward, if you could only do what you are passionate about doing, then you would never go to work a day in your life. It would always be just joyful. Jump up in the morning, get out of bed, get dressed, race to the office or wherever you do your place of business. And man, you would be so excited about doing it. And that's baloney. It's a good southern term for you if you need it. I love what I do. And I have stood on a stage talking to people just like you, wishing I was somewhere else. Never here. Never here. Some days you just got to do what got to be done. But delivering a destiny will just, it will stretch you. If everything's right, it causes stretching and even pain. And something in you has to rise up declaring, it's worth it anyway. And no matter what it costs, no matter what it takes, I'm going to push through this thing to deliver this destiny into the world. I will tell you that in Christy and I's life, whenever we were sitting there in Houston, we had left Kona, and that was very difficult to leave this church that we had planted. It was doing well. Everything's good. It's still thriving today. And we had moved to Houston and become campus pastors there. And that campus began to grow and develop, and it was exciting to be a part of. And we were very comfortable being part of a much larger congregation, a much larger church. Our lifestyle was good. Things were fairly easy for us in many ways. And it was very positive. And so when we started talking about God transitioning us, we knew that that was going to cost something. We knew that there was going to be some stretching involved. And so we were trying to assess the cost. The Bible tells us to count the cost before starting to build the house. That's important. And so I knew that God was going to deliver something beautiful from our life. Whenever I was talking to Christy one day and we were sitting there having coffee, and I said to her, babe, what if we have to plant a church in order to see this vision come to pass in our life? Now, I know the story. I know what we went through in Kona. I know what happened in our world. And when Christy looked at me and said, if it meant delivering something like legacy into the world again, then I'd do it. And that's when I knew destiny was being formed. Destiny was being delivered into the world. Something special was going to take place. We didn't know it was going to be here. We didn't know God was going to bring your life and our lives together. We didn't know that. We just knew God was doing something and birthing destiny from our world. And I believe that, Pastor Benton talked about it a few moments ago, there's been a lot of growth and development in the church. Last Christmas, we were having 2 services. This Christmas, we're having 4 services. That's not just Christmas Eve, that's every Sunday. God is building his church. And it's exciting and it's great to be part of. But if God is going to birth destiny from our collective lives, we would be wrong to think that it's not going to stretch us and we're not going to feel pain somewhere. It hurts when somebody takes your seat. The first time I said it this morning, I thought, that's pretty funny. But then after church, somebody came in and said, that's exactly what they thought. Somebody took my seat today. I told them, I'll assign you a seat, but it's going to be on the front row. They declined my kind offer. It's going to stretch us. I don't know exactly how it's going to stretch us, but we would be crazy to think that God's going to birth an incredible destiny from our lives and it not stretch and cause pain and there be discomfort involved. And that brings us to thought number three. What you are delivering will go no further than your narrowest restriction. It can't go any further. Your narrowest restriction will be the place where your destiny stops. If you don't intentionally make more room. Make more room. People ask sometimes, well, why? Why did my business stop here? Why did our family stop there? Why did this stop in this place? Why did our church stop in that location? Why, and in that area of growth? Why did things stop in these places? And I will tell you, the answer is always the same. That is where you stop stretching. That's where you stop being able to give more room and expand. Now, with intentionality, we can increase our capacity to stretch. And in the book Noel, I talk about three moments in my life where stretching and tearing was occurring. The first was whenever we were in Kona planting that church, and I went to a local pastor in town and I started talking to them about where we had come from and where we were going and some of the struggles that we were having and some of the questions that we were asking and some of the difficulties that we were going through as a family and in life. And I was sharing with him honestly and openly. He was the chairperson of the local ministers group and association that came together. And I was just saying to him, you know, I want to be part of the body of Christ. And I want to be part of the what God's doing in the greater body of Christ in our town. And we want to play our part. And we want to be part of what God's doing across the board here. And on the phone, he was incredibly gracious to me and very kind to me. And it wasn't until about a week and a half later that I found out that he was apparently taking notes during our conversation. And he had created little pamphlets, little handouts. And he was passing them out to all the churches in town to tell them about this crazy new guy in town that was trying to start a church. And all the weird things about me. I wondered if he'd have talked to Christy. I didn't know what. But I was torn. I was hurt. I thought, how's this gonna work? How can it work? A little while later, the economy started going downhill, and suddenly people were very faithful, but they'd been making $30, $40, $50 an hour, and suddenly they were bringing in unemployment for years at a time. And how do you handle that? How do you work with that? And suddenly we started having issues in the church trying to figure out what to do and cut budgets here and figure things out there. And how do you lead through tough times and lean times? I was being stretched. I was being torn. Around the same time, we had a family that came to us and we were very close with them. There were other pastors in the church and we loved them and we trusted them and we honored them and so on and so forth. And one day they got a little upset about something that was going on and came to me and said, hey, we want to start another church right down the street from this church. And it was painful Because just a few years later, they had come to us asking, can we merge our church with your church? And can we work with you? And can we be part of what God's doing in your ministry and in your life? And we had thought about it, and they asked repeatedly. And finally, we said, okay. And so here, they're now part of us. And now that something's gone on that they're not real keen on, they're wanting to separate again. And we're still friends today. And all of this has been healed. I want to tell you, this isn't me crying for you right now. What this is saying, I was being stretched. I was being pulled. I was having to birth something that was greater than what I could naturally bring forth. And it hurt. Anticipating the stretching could have maybe minimized the hurt. But I would go through every single one of those experiences again if it meant seeing my baby come to life. If it meant delivering that destiny. The struggle is that your narrowest restriction is also your greatest natural pain point. So the process pushes against your natural resistance. And the enemy uses it. The enemy's like, hey, if this was really of God, it wouldn't be doing like this. Hey, you're not going to survive. What's the point of bringing forth a destiny that you're not going to survive to see? And at the same time, your natural humanity starts going, yeah, that's right. You agree, because it hurts. And sometimes all you can think about is, how do I stop the hurt? I don't know what the hurt looks like in your life, but the three areas that were being stretched in my world as the pastor was doing what he was doing, he was attacking my character and exploiting vulnerabilities. And maybe that's a stretching area that you're going through right now. When that family was leaving to start a church, it was stretching my relationships and my ability to handle that. And I'll tell you point blank, what I wanted to do when they told me about it is I wanted to punch them in the face. But I didn't. Instead, we gave them an offering and a sound system and a drum kit to bless them. And we prayed that God would bless and anoint their ministry and their church launch. That's what we did. It's not what I wanted to do. It's what I did. Because it was stretching me. That economic downturn, it was stretching me. Can God really allow me to provide for my family? Can I really lead through a crisis? Will God take care of my family when I don't have the answer for what's next and where the next check will come from? All of these things were being stretched in my life. And they'll be stretched in yours. It may not look the same. I hope it doesn't. But the stretching and the pain will be real. Here's the reality. If you can stretch just a little bit more. If you can trust just a little bit more. If you can believe just a little bit more. If you can take the pain for just a moment longer. Then you are going to birth something beautiful out of your world. And I will tell you that I have not one time ever had a parent holding their baby in their arms, wrapped in a beautiful little blanket, and standing there saying, here is my child. And I say to them, wow, what a beautiful, beautiful baby. And that parent looked back at me in the eyes and say, yep, beautiful, but so not worth it. This one was not worth what I went through. I hear that around 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there. But in that moment of holding that baby, everybody says, oh yeah, isn't he beautiful? Isn't she beautiful? And they're worth it. Your destiny is worth it. Are you ready to deliver it into the world? Can you have the faith that the same God that conceives something within your womb has the power and the authority to let it thrive outside of your life, outside of you, beyond you? Can you intentionally expand your narrowest restriction? Are you willing to? Jesus did every single thing right. And his destiny led him to a cross. You're never going to avoid pain. But there is a wrong question and a right question. Here's the wrong question. The wrong question is, how do I avoid pain? You're not going to. I don't care what decision you make in life, you're never going to avoid pain. The question is, the right question is this pain bringing about a God-designed destiny? And if the answer to that is yes, then it's going to be worth the pain. It's going to be worth the stretching. And you're going to hold a destiny in your arms, not even hardly believing that this could come from your life. Last week we celebrated the fact that we had 1,007 people worship with us on a Sunday in our Sunday morning service last week here at McCord Road Christian Church. First time that we've had over 1,000 people in a non-holiday weekend. Blew me away. And I'd like to tell you that I stood there and went, well, I'm not going to tell you that I stood there and, well, of course, I know what God's doing. I know how he's doing it, and it's mind-blowing to me. But I know what it means to walk into a congregation and see one person sitting there. I know what it means to have only one person in your church and they get sick on Sunday morning and they don't show up. And you have no people in the congregation. So when I look at what God is delivering, the destiny that I'm living in right now, I don't stand here. I'm confident, but not conceited. What God is birthing in this church is far beyond what I can do, and far beyond anything I should be doing. But when the Holy Spirit begins to conceive a thing, an expectation is allowed to occur, then the delivery moment will come. And if you and I can trust him, it'll result in something far greater than any of us can imagine. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for what you're doing and how you're doing it. I'm asking you right now, mighty God, to give us the courage to stretch just a little bit more. To endure just a little bit longer. I pray that you give us the confidence in you. The faith, knowing that you can handle it. Whatever is coming, whatever happens, you can handle it. I ask you to remind us that it's not just our baby, but if you've conceived in our life, it's your baby too. And you have a plan for it, just like you have a plan for us. I'm asking you to do what only you can do, and help us to deliver it. Your destiny from our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And let everybody say amen.